Greetings, PopCon Podcast Awards. What you are about to hear is the Cult Cinema Cavalcade submission in the category of TV film. This is an abbreviated edit of our episode discussing the film Mazes and Monsters with special guest Troy Brownfield. This cut is 14 minutes, 49 seconds, and the original episode was 1 hour, 36 minutes. Thank you for your consideration.
On this episode of Cult Cinema Cavalcade, we'll be discussing the 1982 television movie Mazes and Monsters, starring Tom Hanks. Joining us for discussion will be author and comic book writer Troy Brownfield.
Welcome to Cult Cinema Cavalcade, a movie podcast that features hosts Brandon and Cullen discussing a film considered but not limited to being a cult classic. The episode you are listening to will include plot spoilers and may contain harsh language. Follow CC Cavalcade on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Listen to the show on cultcinemacavalcade.com, iTunes, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Please remember me.
The seemingly innocent game, Mazes and Monsters.
Listen, you play Mazes and Monsters? I used to, but I don't anymore.
It's all imagination, is it?
It is all right now. I have slain the Gorgons.
But now and forever. This is Cult Cinema Cavalcade. This is episode 72. This is Brandon, and as always with me is your level 9 co-hoster, Cullen.
Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! Lightning bolt! It's an easy joke. I don't care.
Today we are here to discuss 1982's television film Mazes and Monsters. Cullen, roll the die and tell us where our journey is taking us.
Bound together by a desire to play Mazes and Monsters, Robbie and his three college classmates decide to move the board game into the local legendary cavern.
Mazes and Monsters is directed by Stephen Hillard Stern and stars Tom Hanks, Wendy Crewston, David Wysocki, Chris Makepeace, Lloyd Bachner, and Psycho's Vera Miles. Welcome back to Cult Cinema Cavalcade. We hope you are back with us as we are climbing out of the pit, and at the top, pulling us out, making his third appearance on the show. Someone must have smelled some hell and hit the panic button, because it's Troy Brownfield!
The Satanic Panic.
We have inadvertently made you like our TV movie guy.
Yeah, every once in a while I have a student be like, okay, this whole Satanic Panic thing in the 80s, did that really happen? And you're like, yes. This stuff really happened, and it went on forever. Fifth grade, we had a bunch of people that would like play D&D like on lunch and stuff, and a lady that was like one of the people that oversaw the program, she came in and she saw this Monster Manual Dungeon Master's Guide, and she like flipped out. We were not allowed to bring those to school. We were not allowed to play that.
Returning champion. Hail Satan. Thanks for having me back, guys.
Thanks, Troy. When we conjure up demons, Troy shows
Troy's
up.
There.
Troy's there.
You're kind of like our Constantine, I guess.
And TV, Troy still hasn't graduated to film
feature
yet.
Movies.
Very narrow bandwidth. It's Satan-related TV movies.
Yes.
He cannot break out of the 4x3 barrier.
He's going to next graduate to straight to video VHS rental movies. So how you doing, Troy?
I'm doing well. I have to say, I've actually, you know, against all better judgment, been looking forward to this one for a while because, you know, strangely enough, the first time I did the show, the WNUF, I hadn't seen it before. It was something that you guys introduced me to. And then Mr. Boogity was one I saw, you know, on TV at the time that it was on. I also saw Mazes and Monsters at the time that it was on TV. So yeah, that's a really big, weird thing to go back and revisit, because I saw it the one time. I saw it when it ran on TV like one afternoon in the 90s at some point. I think I might have been in college, because I remember watching it with a couple of friends like, oh, you guys got to see this. And then I haven't seen it since.
Mazes and Monsters, this has been an episode in the making for a while. It's finally here. We have hit up the Satanic Panic before. So those were like teasers up to this one. You know, it's like, oh, here we go. Now it's over. Now you guys got to look forward to something else. But this one comes based off a book that was based off a falsified case.
This case that the movie is based on that we're talking about happened in 81. James Dallas Egbert, who was a college student that went missing, and people blamed it on the game, on being a Dungeons and Dragons player. And this poor guy, he had all kinds of problems and would go through lots of disappearances, actually kill himself a couple of years later. The PI that helped track him down the first time, he actually wrote a book to try to set the story straight. But the book was called The Dungeon Master, so everybody thought it was the true story of why Dungeons and Dragons caused him to do this. But that was in 84, the same year that Mazes and Monsters came out. Patricia Pulling, in 1982, founded Bothered About Dungeons and Dragons because her son had committed suicide. She actually went so far as to sue his high school for allowing them to play D&D at high school, and wrote a book called, wait for it, Colin, The Devil's Web, Who is Stalking Your Children for Satan? And that, 1989. When you look at kind of the narrowing of news, you had CNN at this point, but you know, MSNBC hadn't happened yet and all of that. So you really had CNN and your nightly news. And these news programs and then all these talk shows were taken up with all this D&D, Satan, heavy metal, and all this stuff. And parents were freaked out. And it's kind of hard to describe anything that comes close. And I hate to put it in any kind of a modern context of the same thing, because there really isn't anything I can think of right now. People are fairly nervous about school security. And the nervousness you have about school security right now is probably not even a tenth of what this stuff was in the culture at the time. It all kind of dissipated around 90, like as all the trials ended. The Judas Priest trial ended in 90, and the McMartin trial ended in 90, and like the music change, it was like a decade shift, kind of like disco flaming out.
The book that this movie was based on was written literally in 3 days. Rhonda Jaffe, or however you pronounce her name, she wrote this book just so someone else wouldn't do it first. So she banged it out in a weekend.
The D&D guys have come out and said that, you know, we were this whole time kind of just behind closed doors snickering at all these crazy accusations. And meanwhile, our sales were going through the roof. We had our biggest boom during the era where we were vilified.
And Mazes and Monsters, interestingly enough, I mean, we'll all be talking about Tom Hanks, but this was his dramatic arrival. His biggest dramatic move, I think, to this point was when he was in Family Ties as Alex's criminal alcoholic uncle. But he didn't have a lot of opportunities previous to that to kind of like do anything. And so that Hanks is good, you know, better than the material would lead you to believe. But man, he can only do so much.
Right. Yeah. And it's a TV movie that's probably shooting on the fly to hurry up and hit this panic fad.
And so we played the game again for one last time. It didn't matter that there were no maps or dice or no monsters. Pardew saw the monsters. We did not. We saw nothing but the death of hope and the loss of our friend. And so we played the game until the sun began to set and all the monsters were dead.
The end. And Dungeons & Dragons was banned and never played again in the world.
Well, you know, this is the death of hope. My God,
right, yeah.
I could not believe that. All we saw was the death of hope. I don't know if they could have made that more bleak if they tried. Like, the only way it could have been more bleak is if, like, Robbie killed himself in the forest. Like, that's the
Which
only
in real
way.
Life, that's what the kid that he's based on, like, killed himself. After many attempts. Like, this kid was trying to leave this world desperately and finally succeeded.
He was working as an oil field laborer. He worked there for a few days, and that's when he was finally killed himself, yeah.
It's done in such a touching manner, but I can't help think how ridiculous this all fucking is. Like, during this, like, what they're trying to tell us about this game is done. And like, how many kids do you think watch this movie and quit playing Dungeons and Dragons?
Zero.
I was going to say four.
Four.
Freelich! Aren't you dead? Did you die when you leaped into the pit?
Hey, come on, Robbie, stop fooling around.
It is you, Freelich. You have been restored to the living. Whoever did that is a great holy man.
Now comes the point in the episode where we rate the movie we just watched. As we are Cults of the Macavalcade, we keep things nice and culty. Our ratings are as follows. Stay with your family, which means you're like, you're normal, Robbie. You came to school, you're going to just do good, get your grades, maybe find a girl. Converted, which means, okay, you'll play this game again. Maybe you're having a couple bad dreams here and there. You're fine, but it's solid. It's a good time. Or drinking the Kool-Aid, which means you are pardue. You are fully into this. It's crazy. You're losing your mind over it. You're obsessed with Mazes and Monsters. So, Troy, how do you rate Mazes and Monsters?
I'm afraid I'm going to have to fall in the middle. I'm going to have to go converted, but it's not because of my deep love for it. It remains like a piece of curiosity for me, if that makes sense.
Cullen.
Mazes and Monsters is a piece of irresponsible propaganda. It's really important that people see this. Like, it's not like Reefer Madness, where you watch, like, oh, that's so silly. They trump it up way too far, and they do make it, you know, ridiculous stuff. Is clearly not based on actual facts. It's just fear. I do think it's important that people see this. You know, laugh at the stupid stuff, but understand that this was presented as entertainment and as a warning to parents. That's why I am converted on it, and I do think people should watch this movie. So, Brandon, how do you rate Mazes and Monsters?
Converted. I both love and hate that this movie was made. Like, for obvious reasons, like the propaganda ones, like Cullen was talking, like, because it's so false and everything. But I have to say, I do think it's like Reefer Madness. It's easy to recommend seeing this movie just to be like, wow, people be crazy, especially kids. Kids, like, younger that missed the boat on this will look at it like we look at Reefer Madness, because they didn't live here, maybe didn't even know this kind of crap existed, and would be just blown away by, like, what, really? Just this, it was this damn board game. Wow.
Is the skeleton evil?
No.
Is it helpful?
Time will tell.
Perhaps there is a clue hidden in the skull.
Beware of the sacrilege.
On the next episode of Cult Cinema Cavalcade, we'll be discussing Nightmare Weekend from 1986. I want to thank everyone who makes us a part of your week every other week. And thanks to Troy for returning to the show for the hat trick. What should people be looking out for from you right now?
Let's stick with Sparkshooter at sparkshooter.com. And, you know, my social media stuff, all the announcements will be filtered through there. So at Troy Brownfield.
All right. We look forward to next time. But first, stay tuned to the trailer for Nightmare Weekend, the trailer that actually trails.
You are about to enter the 21st century of terror. Nightmare Weekend. A group of college students were invited to spend a pleasure weekend in a mansion, but instead experienced a nightmare weekend. Nightmare Weekend. The first high-tech terror film. Witness an experiment so frightening that it will never leave your mind.
Die!
Experience a lust for power so gruesome that you may lose your mind. When modern technology gets out of human control, the action never stops. Nightmare Weekend. It's the first high-tech terror film. Nightmare Weekend. The 21st century of terror. Read it off.
Thank you for listening to Cult Cinema Cavalcade, part of the Creative Zombie Studios Network. For press opportunities, advertising opportunities, and more information on Cult Cinema Cavalcade, contact mail@cultcinemacavalcade.com. Produced by Brad Shoemaker, edited by Brandon Peters, narration by Rebecca Peters. Theme song Pink Baby by Happy Elf appears courtesy of the freemusicarchive.org network. The film and music featured in this episode are part of their respective studios, and no infringement is intended. Join us again in 2 weeks for a new episode of Cult Cinema Cavalcade.